Are you so engulfed in your daily life that you've forgotten to take care of yourself? Tapping into our reality and making small changes can shift the course we're on. I found myself looking for direction and understanding in my own situation. If you want to find balance again in the chaos of life, keep listening. Hello, and welcome to Sailing Through Life. I'm Lori, your host and friend. Join me as I share conversations that give you hope through the storms of life. You'll find inspiration through the experiences of my guests, as well as hearing my own crazy, wonderful adventure. Create the life you desire by discovering new ways to focus on your health and well-being through modifying your habits and improving your mindset. Set sail with me on this journey to realize the strength and resilience you have inside. Let us show you how as you sail through life. Welcome aboard. Thank you for sharing your time with me today. You are extremely important to me and this show, and I'm grateful for you being here. I hope to continue to bring inspiration to your day every day. Want to be a part of the crew? Support us by sharing this show with your friends and family, and by making a contribution financially to help us to continue to grow this show. You can learn more at sailingthroughlifepodcast.com. My cancer experience made me confront difficult choices head on, which has reshaped my perspective on life and what's truly important. I'm drawing strength from the support of my friends and family as I embark on this journey of self-discovery, dealing with the emotional side of loss, including the challenge of identity. Resilience is the ability to bounce back from difficult or challenging situations. It's a learned skill that can be developed through practice. People who are resilient are able to cope with stress and adversity in a healthy way. They're also able to see setbacks as temporary and learn from them. They're able to maintain a positive outlook even in tough times. It's important to take care of yourself both physically and mentally. If you feel overwhelmed and exhausted by your current circumstances, it's important to take some time for yourself to relax and de-stress. You may want to try taking a walk, reading a book, or spending time with people who ignite you. It's important to continue healthy habits with eating healthy and getting enough sleep. Your mental health is key to all of it. Today, I'm going back to a previous conversation. So relax, take a deep breath, and join us as we unravel the transformative power of mindfulness and self-care with my past guest, Lindsay Miller. We explore the importance of slowing down, prioritizing activities that bring joy, and how being intentional about our time can lead to a more fulfilling life. Just being in tune with yourself and being aware of when you're in a good place, paying attention to that, and when things start to slide, noting what are those things and addressing them right away. And I think that's a wonderful thought process, is to catch things when they're early and not wait until things have gotten to a point where you're, like you said, go to the doctor and find things out. I think everybody's just so geared anymore that you just go, 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 and you don't even pay attention anymore to the simple things because you're so focused on next week or whatever's going on outside of you that it's hard to be in the moment and slow down enough and modifying that behavior to the point where you can really pay attention and really stop. And a lot of the people I end up talking to on this podcast have been in that position where they've just pushed so hard that their bodies have said, enough already. And if you're not going to listen, I'm going to give you something to make you listen. And it's scary to think that for some reason it's, you know, socially or whatever, acceptable to push yourself to that extreme and that people are expected to work at that level. It's so destructive, and it really does create more situations health wise, mentally and physically, that take you away from doing the things you could have been doing than if you just slowed down in the first place and kind of broke it off into smaller sections, or like you said, start saying no a little bit more so that you have that time for yourself to recharge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great point that we don't give ourselves the permission maybe sometimes. And, you know, we don't need permission to be human and to have bodies that have needs or, you know, to need sleep. But our culture doesn't reinforce those things with any kind of regularity usually. And so we end up needing to really be intentional about it, right? And like you're saying, say, okay, I'm going to make this conscious decision to not run myself ragged, to not, you know, stay up until 2 a.m. every night. And it's surprising to me, you know, I'll look back at my sleep habits before and, you know, the fact that I made it for as long as I did without having a health crisis with the kind of sleep I was giving my body, it's kind of astounding, you know?
Right. Oh, no, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
And so I think that there's so much value in just owning and honoring those needs. And I, you know, the people that I work with in cultivating habits that promote self-care, sleep is one of the hardest ones because they feel weak or they feel lazy or they feel, you know, and we're not talking about going to bed at 5:30. We're talking about going to bed at 10 or 9:30. But to them, they're like, that's like 4 hours of my day. You know, like, I can't, what am I going to do? How do I get everything done if I go to sleep then? And I was like, well, you don't, you know, you do less things.
Right.
And in my own life, I found that when I chose to prioritize sleep and when I chose to prioritize self-care, I got a lot more discerning about what I allowed into those awake hours because all of a sudden they weren't unlimited anymore, right? I was giving myself like a finite number of hours to get things done each day. And so I found myself filling them with very intentional activities. And it created additional meaning for me because I was not just taking whatever came my way and not just saying yes all the time, but I was, like you said, really honoring that moment, what I had to give, what was being asked of me, and then, you know, noting whether it was something I wanted to engage with. And when we can get to that level of presence and not just run on autopilot and say yes all the time and feel overwhelmed all the time, we really do give ourselves an additional level of meaning in our lives because we fill our lives with the things that matter most to us instead of just whatever comes our way.
So this goes along the lines of being more mindful and trying to really just put things in perspective, try to understand better what is working for you and what are some of the things you can weed out. What would you give as an example to a client, something to do to practice more mindfulness?
I'm so glad you asked because as you know, I love talking. It's a really great question. So one of the things that I think is really important to understand about mindfulness is that it can become a way of life and it takes practice. So when we just get started, we don't want to berate ourselves if this doesn't come easily. It just takes time. And we really are making changes in our brains that allow this to come about. So don't try it once or twice and then give up if you don't feel like it's having the results that I'm about to describe, because it does take time. But one of the things that I think is great to consider is this idea of open monitoring and then very specific present moment. So there's a part of our brain that is designed to kind of watch us. And that can sound a little bit weird or uncomfortable for people. You can consider it like maybe if you're in like a factory, say the Crayola factory, and you're watching the crayons get made and you're walking along, you know, that high level area above the factory and kind of looking at all the things that are going on down below. You're noticing the processes individually, then you can see everything and how it kind of fits together and how eventually at the end you get this crayon, right? So there's a part of our brain that's designed to do that, to kind of keep tabs on all the different things, all, you know, like our emotional awareness, our physical well-being, our senses, how we're relating to other people. There's a part of our brain designed to do that. We don't always give it a ton of exercise, so sometimes it's not the strongest part of our brain. So an example of that, this week my daughter had a concussion. And so in our house, we, you know, had this added layer of stress, right? We had just come off a weekend where we'd had company in town. We didn't have a ton of sleep. You know, we would stay up late chatting. So we were already tired. She has this like trauma. So then we have the concussion we're dealing with. And then we also, you know, I've got to be interfacing with her school and we're interfacing with the doctor. And luckily it's minor, but she still has to take some interventions to, you know, to recover. So I'm recalibrating my schedules. I'm working on figuring out what she needs and making sure she has the support she needs, but also the quiet and rest. And it's really out of routine for us, right? So in that moment, what I can do is I can get really stressed and frustrated and anxious about all the different pieces that are going on. Or I can kind of go up to that catwalk, right? That place above where I'm observing what's going on and saying, Lindsay, in this moment, you have a lot on your plate, right? Like you already are tired. So maybe getting some sleep is going to be important. Over here, you're working on figuring out how to organize her schoolwork and all these things that are going on. And that's going to be stressful because you didn't anticipate that as part of your week and you're already trying to catch up from having company. So give yourself a break. You know, be patient with yourself this week because you're navigating quite a few things. You have a lot going on in your factory that you're not used to and you're trying to get some new processes up and running. And it's just going to take some time and energy. So make sure you're caring for yourself and maybe say no to a couple of things. You know, I rescheduled a bunch of appointments and just try to create space so that I could address what was going on in our life. At the same time, having like present moment awareness about the stress that looked like me being at the doctor's office with her. And, you know, we're talking to the doctor and just being really clear about what her symptoms are. So those symptoms felt a little scary to me. So my tendency was maybe to shy away from them or want to gloss over them. And so when she would come to me with a new symptom this week, I'd say, okay, that's great information for us to have and really just sit in that present moment and watch. But I think in like a daily practice, what that looks like, it really does just look like sitting for a couple of minutes a day and like watching your thoughts. And that's where I always tell people to start. Like they sit by your bed right after you wake up for 2 minutes and just sit there and breathe. And then consider like you're on the side of a river and your thoughts are the river, right? And you're just watching your thought river go by and you're watching the thoughts that you're having. You're watching your emotions. You're watching whatever's coming your way, memories, worries. And instead of being in the thick of them and getting kind of beaten around by them and like drowning in those, you're just taking a few steps out, sitting on the rock at the side of the river and watching them float by. And so it sounds so simple, but just a practice like that leads to those moments I described this week, right? Where when you just can do that consistently and start to tune into that part of your brain that can be the observer and then simultaneously connect with your just really present moment awareness, it leads to this ability to really engage with life from a big picture perspective and then with present moment awareness, which creates a kind of mindfulness magic that's really great.
Trying to just be outside of yourself and observe from a distance, or like you're saying, sitting on the edge of the river and watching all that go by and not being consumed by it and really just being aware, just inventorying what is going on right now and having that sense of calm. You take the power away from the stress and the overwhelmed feelings because you're outside of it and just breaking it down into the simple things that are happening. It does really change the way things play out because you're not caught up in the emotion of it. You're taking that time to be calm and understand and make educated decisions and not knee-jerk reactions to things. If you can catch yourself and put yourself outside of it to really just stop and observe how much difference that makes in going through something, you know, in your life, a challenge that you have.
Yeah, it really, really does. And I, you know, there's one thing about being overwhelmed and like feeling emotion that's really fascinating to me. Well, there are a lot of things, but one of the things about it, and you touched on it when you just were talking about patterns and reactivity, is that if we have emotions that haven't kind of been organized in ourselves, one of the things that can happen is those emotions can kind of get stuck. So if you think about it like a conveyor belt and like the emotions are running along inside you and eventually they need to get organized. And at first it's just this felt sense, right? And then it goes down the conveyor belt and then it gets organized into like, this went with this experience, this emotion, you know, tethers with this. This is how we're going to apply or respond to this emotion, right? This is how we understand it. Well, what can happen, and I find this especially true for people in traumatic or stressful experiences, is we can be triggered by emotions we've had previously that didn't kind of get organized. So if you think about it like that conveyor belt, this is Dan Siegel's work too. If you have an emotion that reminds you of an emotion that didn't get organized, what happens is you get both the emotion. Like, so you get an emotion that's really old and is just like this felt sense that didn't ever find a place to be organized in you. And you didn't ever kind of process it properly or with the kind of intention that you needed to. And so what happens is if you have another emotion that feels similar, both kind of glue together and it's kind of like it's stuck on your conveyor belt and it's just like, and so with mindfulness, we can start to be a little more discerning. And this comes into relationships pretty heavily because a lot of times what happens is when those stuck feelings come into play, it really affects our relationships. One example would be like if you had a situation where, say, you've been married previously and you had some, you know, some relational trauma from a divorce and you were engaging in a new relationship. But you had things come up, situations come up that kind of reminded you of the old trauma in your relationship. Well, what can happen is you can respond to the new relationship like with the patterns of the old trauma. But when we're mindful, we can kind of sift through it and process it. You know, maybe we're working with a therapist, maybe we're working with journaling, whatever, to kind of put those emotions in their place. Like that is from that experience. This current experience maybe has some similarities or the feeling is similar, but this is a different scenario. And I can respond, I can respond intentionally in a way that reflects what this relationship is and what's going on right now in the present instead of that past, you know, responding as though this is a stress from the past.
Just that example of the relationship situation. Sometimes those things happen in a split second. How do you derail that reaction when it's happening that fast in real time?
Yeah, that's such a great question. This is, again, Dan Siegel's work, but he talks about this idea of green zones and how we have the ability in our brain to operate from a place of relaxed readiness. Like we can, in any situation, respond with relaxed readiness. Well, what that looks like is just being able to take what comes and be a little bit more flexible with it. And there are alternates. So he talks about it as a river. So like if we have this flow in the river, relaxed readiness in this flow state is in the middle. And that's when we can move down the river of our life in a way that is very adaptable. You know, we don't have trouble with new situations and we can really handle stress with a level of resilience that gets us through it, you know, without compounding the stress. And then on either side of the river, we have like this sense of rigidity and the sense of chaos. So if you think about it like a river with like a big stone wall on one side, and then on the other side, there are these little reeds like weeds, and you can just get stuck over there in the chaos. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times our reactions will be either one or the other. And the middle is this green zone, right? The middle is the space where we can flow with our life and move forward in a way that doesn't get us stuck and doesn't leave us like battered against this, you know, stone wall. And so again, having the practices in place to just watch our thoughts allows that green zone or that river to widen. So when we practice just breathing and watching our thoughts, when we practice responding to situations, and I'll go through this other acronym in just a minute, when we practice responding to situations and just trying to widen that space just a little bit, and it comes over time, we can end up with a pretty wide green zone. Another way you can practice this idea of presence is in just simple activities and movement throughout the day. So you can start to move with more intention and mindfulness. So that might look like noticing when your toe hits the ground when you're walking versus when your heel hits, being aware of when your arch flattens when you're walking, you know, and then as you pick your foot up, noticing how heavy your foot is. It could be hand washing when you're washing your hands, really feeling the bubbles or the soap on your hands, noticing the temperature of the water. And just moving slowly, slowing down to just get really present. You'll slowly over time see that green zone start to widen. And then the next time you're in a situation, say it is relational, where you're going on that knee-jerk reaction and you're just making, you know, you're having a response that is maybe not the most productive in that moment, you'll stop. And I watch people do this again and again, and they'll say to me, I finally did it. Like I've been thinking that I needed to do this. I've been thinking I just needed to hold my tongue for a minute and think through what I wanted to say, but I finally was able to do it. Like I had enough, you know, self-control or discipline at that point that my green zone was big enough that I could stop in that moment, take an intentional response, and then, you know, see what happens. And so again, it's just time and those simple, simple daily practices. You just have to start, right? Start today, do something more mindfully today. And then it will start to trickle into all these other areas of your life where it will have a big impact.
And so the more you do this, it's something so
continual in your life that if you do it and you start doing it more and more every day, that does lead to having that experience. If you do have a situation where you have that moment to just think and build up to that, that's a great example. And the visuals are amazing. You never know what happens in life. I think it's part of your arsenal of things that you need in your back pocket to have and practice and to become more in that moment and better yourself, to be more accepting and working through those glitches that you have of being reactive to something. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. And I think you really, yeah, what you just said is great, because I think that idea of acceptance is one that we maybe fight. And one of the things about mindfulness that's great, and a lot of people, when they first practice, they're like, I can't do it. I cannot do this. I'm not, you know, meditation. They'll be like, my mind just won't stop. It just won't stop. And it's fascinating to me. And I love watching people connect with the idea that you're actually not supposed to stop your mind. Like, that's not the idea. The idea is to just observe it, understand what's going on, and then make an intentional choice, right? And so I love that you could connect with the analogy. And I think the thing that I see the most from people is that when they find themselves on, you know, say they're over in the reeds and they're feeling overwhelmed, or their boat's bashing up against the, you know, stone wall, and they're just feeling that sense of rigidity internally, like, unless this happens, I'm not going to be okay. That they get frustrated with themselves in those moments. And they think like, why can't I just do it? Why can't I just be in the middle of the river? And part of the practice, I would even say the most important part of the practice, is gracefully acknowledging that and accepting those moments, and then just like doing what you can to try to move toward your green zone, you know, move toward the middle of the river. But it's not that we don't have those moments, because like you said, we all do, but it's the graceful handling of them and the acceptance of them that allows us to move forward and not beat ourselves up. Like, we never beat ourselves up that we hit the rock wall. We don't beat ourselves up that we got stuck in the reeds. We just acknowledge and then move forward. And it's that practice repeatedly that is the thing that changes you. It's that grace and that patience with yourself that changes every situation. Because once you can start to cultivate that within your own self, it's much easier to give it to other people. So when we're in those relationship moments, if we can be patient with ourselves and say, oh my gosh, I am completely operating under, you know, an old relational pattern. Or, you know what, my coworker really frustrated me today, and that's why I'm getting mad at my, you know, my partner right now. That if we can have the grace to not beat ourselves up in that, right? And be like, I can't believe I did that. We often, and it's normal, we get stuck there. And so the goal then is, when you cultivate this awareness, to do so with as much grace as you can muster. And then just be like, huh, you know, I did just react about something that happened earlier today and had nothing to do with you. And I'm really sorry, you know, and then let it go. We just, the grace tends to flow when we can give it to ourselves.
So all this practicing and being mindful and paying attention and shifting how you react or respond to things, how does that play into resilience and getting through challenges?
That's such a great question. And one of the things that Dan Siegel talks about that I really love is his analogy is coal, and it's curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love. And this is something that didn't come easily for me at all. This is a practice that I worked for quite some time to adopt. And I would say it's one of the biggest players in my resilience tool belt, is being able to approach any situation with a sense of curiosity. Like, what's actually going on here? Because our brains can't be afraid and curious at the same time. They're not wired for that. So if we can shift from a fear state during times of stress to a curiosity state, that's already just going to give us a huge bonus in terms of the mental faculties that are available to us. So we go into something with curiosity. We're open to different outcomes. And that can be really hard during stressful times, right? Especially when it comes to health. Like, we want a certain outcome. But when we are open, we are looking at different options. We're willing to see different pathways forward, just as, you know, we don't want to have a ton of rigidity. When we can be open to different options, we avail ourselves of a ton of our own creativity, but also the insights that might come to us from others. We see solutions in different places than maybe what we were used to. And so that's huge. And then acceptance, we can accept different like if it's a health struggle, we can accept different diagnoses or different prognoses along the way. And we can do so from a place of not fighting them. And one of the things mindfulness can really give us a boost in is this idea of just accepting what is and then working there. And I know, you know, in times when there are things involved that are less than appealing, that can be especially challenging, right? Whether it's relationally, whether it's in life, whether it's in health. But again, the only options we have are in this moment. So the sooner we can accept this moment, the sooner we can take action and move forward in whatever that looks like in a way that's going to allow us to create the most meaning that we can. And the longer we go about not accepting this moment, the longer we put off any real decisions that we could be making. And so when we can practice this idea of acceptance and just be open to different solutions, scenarios, like outcomes, and do so with a sense of curiosity, that's going to lead us to that L in Cole, which is love. And we can accept ourselves, right? And offer ourselves love. And then we can offer love to those around us because we're not feeling stuck. We're not fighting the situation that we're in. And so I would say, practicing mindfulness over time allows us to cultivate these qualities, this curiosity, openness, acceptance, and love in a lot of situations. And when we can approach situations with those qualities, our level of resilience skyrockets because we're in a position to just respond and respond intentionally instead of being reactive.
I just think about all the elements of what happens in a day, in a life, and how many opportunities we have to make choices and how exciting it is that just making one decision different, making one thing better in a day, how much that changes tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and how you can build on that simple change to better your life and be in a different place. The thing that was striking me was the turning the fear into curiosity. Like, you know, when somebody tells you your health is being challenged, when you're going through something that's very serious, it is very overwhelming and you are in that fear state and your mind does do that reeling of what ifs, and it's flipping the switch and bringing that curiosity into it and being more open to just understanding a little bit more and taking the power away from the fear, just having that sense of peace and calm and working through it. And all these visuals that you've put into place of how to adjust that thinking and how to adapt to a new way of living more in the intentional and calm ways, that makes a world of difference. And it's just slow, repetitive, and giving yourself a break if you mess up, but being consistent with it as best you can to get to the point where you tip the scale and it's not so much a hard thing to do. It starts coming naturally. So I think that's an amazing aspect to everything you do and how powerful these things are that you've talked about today.
By paying attention to the present moment without judgment, you can reduce your stress, improve focus, and increase your self-awareness. Mindfulness can be practiced through meditation, yoga, or even simply by being aware of your thoughts and feelings as they arise. This insightful conversation, we learned to invite mindfulness and resilience into our daily lives. If you're feeling like you're neglecting your own well-being, it's important to talk to a doctor or a therapist. They can help you develop a plan to manage your stress and improve your overall health. You can learn more about Lindsay on her website at thestressnanny.com. I'll make sure to include the link to the full episode in the description. It's time to feel empowered. It's time to make every choice count. If you or someone you care about would like to share their experience, or if you know an organization to help even just one person, message me through my website. Just go to sailingthroughlifepodcast.com to help out. Stay anchored. Chat with you next time.